Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. Okay, welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh. You're listening to 101.9 CITR here in Vancouver. Tonight's episode focuses solely on a producer who will be playing here in Vancouver later on this evening at Red Room. He's a trance producer with a 20-year career, a vision for the future, and an extensive body of work. It's a two-part interview. Full track list for this is on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Enjoy this, and I will be back in a bit.
Okay, so this is DJ Waugh speaking to Solarstone, a veteran of the global trance scene. He's been producing and DJing since the mid-1990s and continues to do so to this day. Over the past year, he's played a list of enviable gigs, including Creamfields, A State of Trance, and the Captured Festival in Ibiza. He's been released on a number of iconic labels, going way back to Huge Tunes, Tiesto's Black Hole recordings, Armada, and his own Pure Trance recordings, just to name a few. Since 2014, he's been involved in a collaboration project along with Giuseppe Ottavani called Pure Energy. He's formerly had a weekly radio show, Solaris International Radio, and currently has one titled Pure Trance Radio. He'll be playing here in Vancouver on Sunday, November the 11th at the Red Room as part of his Pure Trance Movement Worldwide Tour. It's my pleasure to be speaking to him. This is Solarstone.
Okay, so to begin with, how would you define your sound?
Well, I guess Pure Trance is the tag I go by now. It's I've been kind of producing trance music for... God, it must be, well, I think it's 20 years since the first Solarstone single that came out in November 1997. And I think I've just always tried to, well, I've always loved trance. You know, I've never really been a big fan of blending styles, possibly because I love trance in its purest form, you know, and I don't really feel the urge to spoil it. That's probably the wrong way to describe, actually. I'm spoiling it, but I think there's a lot of artists out there who like to mix up genres, and I prefer to just do what I do well rather than kind of trying to do something that I'm not too comfortable with and not doing it so well.
Did you have any early musical training that helped you out as you started to produce trance music?
Sadly, I had one piano lesson when I was 8 years old. My mum took me for this piano lesson with this really old lady with terrible rheumatoid arthritis, and she told me that I played very well. And then the following week, my mum left my dad, and we moved to this little cottage in Wales without enough room for a piano. So that was it, one piano lesson.
since you began producing to now, how would you say that your sound has evolved? You said it's typically been the pure trance idea, but how has your sound changed over time?
I guess really it's just become maybe a little bit more complex and a bit more refined. You know, as a musician, I've learned a lot and I've become more competent on instruments like the piano and the guitar and the bass and things like that. And I suppose my engineering skills have improved. So I think fundamentally my sound hasn't really changed. You know, my kind of music, it's the kind of music that should be able to be played on a piano. You know, it's quite simple. The chords are quite simple and the melodies are simple. And I guess I've learned a lot of production tricks over the years. Probably just like any other musician, really. You just learn and develop. But I've tried not to let the, you know, the complicated production things overshadow the core elements, which I think are the most important, which are, you know, just like groove, melody and emotion, really.
Why is the pure trance movement so important to you?
There's a couple of reasons, actually. The first reason being that about 8 years ago when I started the whole thing, my career was pretty much, well, I wouldn't say over, but it was definitely on the rocks. You know, the trance scene wasn't really, there wasn't really much music in the trance scene that I enjoyed, and I felt that the music I was making wasn't really being listened to. I kind of decided to make one last album, you know, and go off and do something else in my life. And I decided to make my music return to the roots, or what I consider to be the roots of trance, you know, kind of casting aside any sort of fashionable music foibles that were popular at the time, and just make one last record. And thankfully for me, there were a lot of other people around the world who felt the same way as me, that, you know, this kind of pure form of trance was very important to millions of people around the world who'd grown up with it and had a lot of great life experiences listening to it. And so the pure trance movement was there as kind of like a rallying cry for those people. You know, at the time, it really wasn't cool to say you were a trance musician. So what I and my manager and now girlfriend Paula did was to try and turn it on its head and say that we were proud of trance and try and fly the flag for it. And as a result, you know, this whole pure trance movement has grown over the last 8 years. It's grown from a few tracks to, you know, we've done something like 100 pure trance events around the world, and we've got successful record labels and radio show and all that kind of thing. So it's been vitally important to me. I think the other good thing about it is that it's helped to revitalize the trance scene globally. You know, I mean, if you go back 8 years, there were very, very few artists or labels releasing, you know, pure trance music. And since I started the pure trance movement, a lot of artists have, they seem to have gained confidence in producing this kind of music again. And a lot of artists who previously had stopped producing trance music have come back to it, and a lot of promoters putting on events. And I mean, look at it now, we've got things like Dream State in the USA and lots of these great festivals happening all around the world, and there's lots of cool trance nights. I mean, you know, trance is an underground thing now. It's a counterculture. It's like a niche movement rather than being, you know, a big commercial mainstream genre. But that's cool for me. You know, I'd rather play to a club with 500 people in it every few weeks than just play, you know, a festival a couple of times a year. I'm much more comfortable playing in clubs than I am playing big events. So, you know, I mean, the money's not like it was, and, you know, DJs can't earn massive fees like they used to, but it's never been about the money for me. It's been about just doing something I enjoy and being able to, you know, make a modest living from it, really.
Okay, so just to kind of continue with the Pure Trance theme, you have an album called Pure Trance Volume 7 coming out on the 9th of November here. Can you offer any details about this?
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, it's number 7, 7th in the series. And when we did the first one, it really was, you know, are people going to go for this? And it's been incredibly successful. You know, we're still pressing CDs. We're still shifting thousands of CDs, which is quite unusual in this marketplace. We release it at the same time every year, which kind of creates, it's a bit like what they do with the Estate of Trance compilations or the In Search of Sunrise compilations. You know, at this time of year, people start looking forward to it and they get excited about it. And every year I invite a DJ or a couple of DJs who I have, you know, respect for, and you know, I respect and enjoy their music, and I respect their approach to trance. These are artists who have kind of stuck with trance through a time when they could have moved away from the sound. So this year I've got Christina Sky, unknown to a lot of people around the world, but she's actually been a real driving force for trance in California over the last 20 years. And I first met her when I played at Circus in LA about 15 or 16 years ago. And we've become good friends, and she's an absolutely amazing DJ. So I really wanted to kind of give her a springboard, you know, so that more people around the world would discover what she does. So she's mixed disc one, and she's actually managed to cram 20 tracks in there, which when she first told me, I was a bit like, oh my God, you know, that's a lot of music. But she's a real DJ's DJ. You know, she uses tracks to bridge to other tracks, and she uses bits of tracks, and she creates a real flow. So I love her disc. It's very, very progressive. And then on disc 3, I brought in a guy called Lossley. He's a German guy called Andre. I was familiar with his music, but I'd never really met the guy. And then he played for us at a Pure Trance event in Thailand. I think it was, what are we now, October. It was earlier this year. And I was just totally blown away by the energy of his set and his mixing and his music. And instantly, I thought, I want him to do it, you know. So we've ended up with three really brilliant CDs, 50 tracks, only one of which has been previously released. It's a lot of tracks from artists. A lot of them are artists people haven't discovered before. You know, one of the things I do with the Pure Trance compilations is I try to discover, well, I'm always trying to discover new talent, but specifically for the Pure Trance albums, I try to discover new names, new talents. And as I say, there's 50 tracks, so they're all exclusive to the comp, you know, never been heard before. It's a massive, you know, it's a massive A&R exercise, and talking some of the artists through the track to make them better, and getting all the stems so I can make Dolby Atmos versions of them, and the artwork and the videos and everything. It's months and months of work.
Okay, so let's hop over to the DJing side of things here. When you are DJing and performing, what's the equipment setup that you use and why?
Pretty straightforward. I ask for 4 CDJs and a decent mixer, you know, maybe just a 1000 or a CDJ 2000 and then, or DJM 2000, I think they're called. And I use the CDJ Nexus 2s as well because I ask for them because I do a lot of looping and stuff. I use a lot of breakbeats and bits of tracks and samples and stuff in my set. So I always ask for 4 of those so that they're synced. You know, the sync is really nice and tight. It's extremely annoying when you hit the loop button and things aren't in time. Mm. You know, it can totally throw everything, especially when you're trying to do something cool, like for example go into a breakdown of a record, loop it, bring in a bit of another record, loop that and start filtering it up, bring in an acapella from something else and start mixing that in. And if everything's in time, you can really do something exciting, you know, to really get the crowd moving. But if you have technical issues, you know, sometimes I turn up to gigs and there's only 2 CDJs and a crappy mixer, and it's so frustrating, you know, especially if you've got a 3-hour set or something. You're totally limited to just mixing one record in after another one, and that's kind of, you know, any idiot can do that. You know, I want to do something well, maybe not any idiot, but a lot of idiots could do it. I just want to do something creative and build like a tapestry of trance. Oh my god, the tapestry of trance. I'm not going to use that in my Solarstone builds a tapestry of trance. But you know, I try to be creative because the DJing is something that I didn't initially intend to do. You know, when I was producing, when I started producing the Solarstone in the late 90s, I did get offers to play DJ gigs. I remember getting a call if I wanted to play with, it was either Paul Oakenfold or Paul Van Dyke at Space in Ibiza. And I just said no. I said, nah, I'm not really interested in being a DJ. You know, I'm quite happy just being a producer. But when the arse fell out of the music industry, I kind of didn't have any choice. It was like I wasn't going to be able to make a living just from selling records, so I had to do something else so that I was able to keep doing this full time. So I took the offer and I did my first gig at Gatecrasher in Sheffield with Paul Van Dyke, funnily enough. And I remember being incredibly nervous and spent most of the day being sick. And then as soon as I stepped into the booth, I felt totally, totally comfortable and at ease, and then I've enjoyed it ever since.
magazine from CITR has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
You're listening to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Wah. That was the first part of tonight's interview and track retrospective for English trance artist Solar Stone. Here's part two. Full track list is on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Enjoy this, and I'll be back in a bit.
Okay, so let's hop over to the production side of things, and you have been doing this for over 20 years. Which DAW do you produce with?
Well, I've been using Cubase since 1994. I started off on the Atari ST, being able to save 1.5 megabytes of information, wow, you know, at a time. And I've just continued using Cubase as it's evolved. You know, I remember when VST first appeared, VST meant that you were able to use pieces of audio in your productions rather than just using MIDI and triggering samples and triggering, you know, MIDI keyboards and stuff. So I remember that was a really big deal. When Cubase VST first came out, I remember talking to a friend and saying how frustrated I was that there were only 8 audio channels, and that it would be really great if they brought out a new version where there were more than 8. And this mate of mine said, have you not tried like double clicking on the number of audio tracks and increasing it? And I was like, what? You can do that? And he was like, yeah, you can change it to 9, 100, 1,000. You can have as many as you want. And I was such a noob, you know. I'm really not a geek or a nerd. And I had no idea, and it totally blew my mind. So with production, I tend to try and keep the amount of things that I've got at my disposal quite small. When it comes to plugins and compressors and effects and stuff, I don't tend to get everything that becomes available. I just use things that I know really well, and I know that they're going to do what I want them to do. And it's the same with virtual instruments. You know, I don't have lots. I tend to avoid the ones that are commonly used in trance, things like Silenth and Spire and things like that. I try to avoid those kind of things because I find that the presets and everybody uses them. So I try to create my own sounds and use my hardware.
Okay.
And I've also just discovered the Roland Cloud thing, which is amazing, where they're making these virtual versions of everything they've pretty much ever made over the last 30 years. So I've been using those because a lot of those synthesizers I used to have years ago. Sadly, I think it was in 1999, we had our studio broken into. We had everything stolen apart from the mixing desk and the sampler, which were too heavy to steal, and they took everything. So it was kind of a case of starting again. So
You've had a radio show since 2004, a weekly radio show, first with Solaris International Radio up until 2015, and since then with Pure Trance Radio. So what has that experience been like for you?
Well, the show was originally called Made in England, and that was in 2000 and something. And then it became the Deep Blue Radio Show when I was running Deep Blue Records. And then when I split up with my partner at the time, Andy, and I launched the Solaris label, I renamed the show Solaris International. And then when the Pure Trance movement really kicked off, I just decided to end it on episode 460 something and start with a brand new show starting from zero. So I love doing the radio show. I mean, sometimes when I get back from, I always do the show on a Monday, and sometimes when I get back from touring, I'm tired and I think, oh my God, you know, I've got to spend half a day on this. But as soon as I start listening to the new music and start putting the track list together, I start enjoying it. And it's a way for me to, you know, to interact with my fans. I mean, people probably aren't aware of this, but the podcast gets something like between 2.5 and 3 million downloads every month, which is a huge amount. So we've got a real strong fan base for that. I mean, the online streaming that we do on a Wednesday, we don't really get that many people tuning in, but I think people like to have their podcasts, you know, people are really interested in going somewhere at a certain time to listen to the show. They want to have it at their convenience. But yeah, I love it. You know, I like putting it together. I do the whole thing myself. I mix it and do the, you know, record everything, and I make the MP3s and do the artwork and everything. Yeah, it's quite a personal thing. And I love it when people come up to me when I'm touring to say they listen to the show every week, because, you know, when you're sitting there in the studio recording it, it's quite lonely, and you have to kind of imagine that you're performing this show, you know, to people around the world. And it really means a lot when people come up and they say they listen to it every week. It kind of gives me a renewed sense of, you know, reinvigorates me, I suppose.
over the years, you've produced a number of albums. On your most recent album, The Blue Album, you collaborated with several vocalists. So how do you approach the production of those tracks? Do you write lyrics and have them sing? Or do you give them the music and have them create the lyrics? What's the collaboration process you use?
Well, things have really changed for me over the last few years. I had quite tunnel vision regarding this for quite a long time, where I insisted that I had to be in the studio with the singer, write the song together, you know, record it when we were together so that I could direct them into the kind of thing I wanted to do. So I was quite limiting myself in terms of who I could work with. But when I signed a new publishing deal with a company called BMG Talpa, there was a guy there, and I sat down with him and he said, look, Rich, you know, you really need to open your mind with regards to this, because you're cutting out a lot of artists who, you know, you could do really interesting collaborations with. So I reached out. One of the first ones was I reached out to Rabbi, I think they're a Swedish or Norwegian band. And this, I'd never heard of them, you know. I was put in touch with them by the guy from the publishing company, and he said, I think you could do something interesting with these guys. So I had this instrumental track, which was called L-O-V-E, which became Untitled Love from the Pink album. And I sent it to them, and they just sent me back this amazing vocal, which really worked with the track. They recorded all of the harmony layers and stuff, and it was really gave me a sense of freedom, you know, to take what they'd done and then rearrange the track around their vocal. And that was kind of like the start of a new way of working. So on the Blue Album, I recorded with Jonathan Mendelsohn, and that was another case of I played this thing on the piano. Well, I actually wrote this thing on the piano and guitar with a friend of mine called Neil, and just sent this to Jonathan, and he wrote this beautiful song, recorded countless layers of harmonies, and just sent me the whole lot. And then I reworked the track into the version that's on the album, and of course the club mix. Sometimes I write a song, you know, like with something like Lovers off the Pure album or Shards off the Blue album. I'll just write a song that means a lot to me, and I'll try and find somebody to sing it, but I can't find anybody who really delivers the song the way that it is in my head. And in that case, I'll sing it myself. Other times I write a song and find a singer and they sing it, and then they bring new things to the song, and then I kind of adapt it and write new lyrics. I always try to contribute something to the lyrics. Like I think with This Is Where It Starts, that was probably one of the songs where I didn't actually contribute anything at all to the lyrics. It was all done by Jonathan.
Oh,
Okay, so here's a chance to take a look back at your career, your body of work. Can you tell me one or two tracks that you've produced over that 20-year span that you're most proud of producing?
Ooh, gosh, that's a lot of music. Yeah, we've just finished the new Solar Stone website, actually, and we had to populate it with absolutely everything I've done over the last 20 years. And it took like months and months and months. And there were points when I looked at it and thought, my God, you know, did I really do all that stuff? But in terms of the songs, I think Lovers from the Pure album was one of my favorites, simply because the actual song came out of me in about 20 minutes, parked in a lay-by in the middle of winter. And the production of that song was so easy. It took me, you know, took me about half a day to put most of it down, because I really, you know, when I listen to that song, I can really tell that I really meant that song. Also, Thank You from the Blue album, that one is one of my favorites. That was written after my father died over last Christmas. One of his favorite pieces of music was Handel's Largo, which I hadn't heard before, and so after he died I decided to write this track loosely based upon Handel's Largo. I actually listened to Handel's Largo the other day, and it doesn't really sound that much like it, funny enough. There's a couple of little bits, you know, that sound a bit like it, but that one means an awful lot, and you can tell when you listen to it that it's got a lot of emotion in it.
You're going to be playing here in Vancouver at the Red Room on Sunday, November the 11th. What can clubgoers expect from your set that night?
Well, I'm really looking forward to that, partly because it's been ages since I played in Vancouver, and partly because my favourite cousin Deborah lives over there. Oh, wow. And she's been a lifeguard. Well, she's not even a lifeguard. She's one of those helicopter medics who fly in to rescue people. And she's my favourite cousin, and I don't get to see her very often. So I'm looking forward to seeing her and her crazy boyfriend, Seth. And they will be at the club, by the way. The gig is going to be a lot of stuff from Pure Trance 7, plus new stuff I've signed to Pure Trance and Pure Progressive, which won't be released for absolutely ages because I signed so much stuff for Pure Trance 7. I think I'm playing 3-hour sets. Yeah, so that's going to be kind of like a journey through the Pure Progressive and Pure Trance sound. So hopefully it'll be busy, and I've heard really good things about the club as well, so, you know, I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully it'll sell out.
Ooh.
Okay, what is your vision for the future for yourself production-wise and also in DJing?
More of the same. I just kind of do what I do and I keep on doing it. One of the exciting things I'm involved with is the Dolby Atmos concept, which is kind of like the next level in terms of club sound installations. You know, they install something like 30 speakers here and the sound is like 360 degree sound, and every track that you play on the Dolby Atmos sound system, you have to go into the studio and make a special mix from the original stems and placing the sounds all around the room. And I've been involved with that for nearly 2 years, helping Gabe, who's the guy who came up with the idea to put Dolby Atmos into clubs, and I've been helping him to get the sound system installed in other clubs around the world. We started off with Ministry in London, and then together we put it into Sound Bar in Chicago, and then we put it into Agaha in Tokyo, which is one of the best, was one of the best clubs in the world anyway, and now it's being put into a club in San Francisco. So I'm really enjoying doing that, going into the studio once every few months, making these new Dolby Atmos mixes. And what I'm planning to do is, when you're actually able to buy these Dolby Atmos mixes of tracks online, I'm hoping that my label, Pure Trance, will be the first label to have, you know, a significant amount of its catalogue available in this format. So it's really, really exciting way of producing music. I've got the third part of the Pink Blue album series to work on, and that should be coming out at the beginning of April next year if I manage to get it finished in time. Yeah, just continue building the Pure Trance brand, maybe do a few stages at a couple of festivals this year if we manage to get that to happen. You know, just carry on doing what I'm doing and hopefully continue to be able to pay the bills.
about it. This has been Solar Stone. A selection of Solar Stone tracks can be found at Beatport, iTunes, and Juno Download. And a full list of Solar Stone and Pure Trance web links can also be found on the Techno Progressivo Facebook page. So thank you very much for doing this.
It's Cynthia from The Bike Kitchen. We moved, but we are still nearby. The Bike Kitchen is now located on East Mall in the trailer between Irving, Cape Arbor, and Brock Hall. Come down and check out our selection of used bikes, work on your bike with our tools, or get a tune-up by one of our pro mechanics. We have a 1 or 2 day turnaround on all tune-ups. Check out our website, thebikekitchen.com, for more information about our services and prices.
I call it transcendence. I call it transcendence.
Psytrance, hard trance, epic trance, acid trance, deep trance, hard dance, breakbeat. Every Sunday at 10 p.m. to midnight. Hosted by DJ Smiley Mike and DJ Caddyshack.
I call it transcendence.
Okay, we are all done here for another episode of Techno Progressivo. Full track list for tonight's show is on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page, along with an extensive list of Solar Stone web links. If you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to get out to the Red Room tonight to catch him live and experience the Pure Trance movement firsthand. If you want to check out the show, you can do so again either on iTunes or at citr.ca, and that's in podcast form. Up next is Smiley Mike and 2 hours of Transcendence. He basically picks up where the last hour just left off, so check that out if you're enjoying the trance. Thanks to Solar Stone for interviewing, and I will see you back here again in 2 weeks.